Have you ever experienced this before where you had something right in front of you, but you just couldn't see it? Like you looked around it, you looked past it. I mean, it was right there, but you just couldn't see it. Maybe the most common example in the room is looking for your car keys. Like if you're a parent in here, you've probably done this where you're walking around the house and you're like, kids, what have you done with the car keys? Because somehow it's the kid's fault, right? And they're like, Dad, the keys are right in your hands. And you're like, okay, it was right in front of me the whole time and I just couldn't see it. Maybe it's, if you've ever seen one of those puzzles, like brain puzzles, eye puzzles, where it's like all you see is a candlestick and that's all you can see. It's right there in front of you. But then someone points out, no, it's actually two faces looking at one another. And those faces were there the entire time. They were right in front of you, but you just couldn't see it. And now that they've pointed that out, like you can't see the candlestick anymore. All you can see is the two faces, right? Our family has a home improvement example of this. About 10 years ago or so, we were changing out the island on our the countertop on our kitchen island, and whoever installed it, they just installed it a little bit off center, just at a little bit of an angle. And I'm not the quickest to notice things like these, but my wife is. Kelly notices all of these things. And so it was right in front of me. I didn't see it, but then Kelly pointed it out to me. And after she pointed it out to me, it was all I could see. You know, every time I went to get a spoon, it was like, oh, yeah, it's countertop. I don't know, it's just off-centered. Look at it, you know. And it was right in front of me the whole time, but I couldn't see it. But then once my eyes were open to it, it's all I could see. What's interesting is that throughout the account of Easter, we see this same dynamic over and over again with so many people who had a front row seat to that first Easter. It was right in front of them, yet they couldn't see it. And then once their eyes were open to it, it was all they could see. The gospel writer Luke describes it this way, Luke chapter 24. On the first day of the week, this would have been Sunday morning, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Now, just to catch us up, on Friday, what we now refer to as Good Friday, Jesus went to the cross and he died somewhere around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And Joseph of Arimathea, a follower of Jesus, a wealthy follower, went to Pontius Pilate and asked for Jesus's body so that he could give Jesus an honoring burial in his own family tomb. And so right as the sun was setting on Friday, they get Jesus put away in Joseph's tomb. And then Sabbath began right as sunset on Friday night. And so Saturday, there was no work. There was nothing they could do. They waited, they mourned, they grieved. And then Saturday night, these women probably began preparing these spices. They wanted to properly give Jesus a burial. They had to do it so quickly Friday night. There was still work left to be done. So very early in the morning, they probably didn't sleep. They were up most of the night mourning and grieving their rabbi, their teacher, their friend who had just passed away. And so the moment light began to come up in the sky, they take off and they head to the tomb. And they were expecting to find Jesus's body there. That's why they were bringing spices. They wanted to finish the burial prep. Luke continues, he says, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And they're standing there wondering. They're concerned, they're confused. Why is Jesus not here? And all of a sudden, two angels show up. And they say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. He is alive. And they're still confused. And so the angels say, well, don't you remember his words to you when you were in Galilee? Galilee was the northern part of Israel. It's where most of Jesus's ministry took place. And the angels remind these folks at the tomb, hey, do you remember what he said to you in Galilee, that he was gonna have to suffer and die and rise again? And the angels tell them this, and Luke documents it this way, that then they remembered his words. Oh, that's right. It was right in front of them the whole time, but yet they couldn't see it. And now that these angels have shown light on the reality of the situation, it's all they can see. They can't see anything else. So filled with a new hope, they race back to the home where the disciples were hiding out, where they had gathered and probably spent the weekend together after Jesus's crucifixion. And they bust in the doors and they say, "He's risen, he's alive, he's alive." And they're like, "What are you talking about?" And they explain to them what just happened. "We went to the tomb and didn't find Jesus, and we weren't really sure what had happened, but these angels reminded us of what Jesus had said." But everyone gathered there didn't believe him. He says it this way, that they didn't believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. It's like, wait a second, that doesn't seem possible. Easter was right in front of them, but they couldn't see it. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Peter wanted to see this for himself. And it says, bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, not rejoicing in the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead, but he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Like so many others in the Easter account, Easter was right in front of Peter, yet he couldn't see it. I mean, he actually peered into the tomb that was empty. He saw the grave clothes. He was in the place that resurrection began. And yet he couldn't see it. Easter was right in front of them, and they couldn't see it. And I love what Luke documents next. It's one of my favorite parts of the Easter account. And it's another example of Easter being right in front of someone and them not being able to see it. He kind of jumps from all of the disciples in Jerusalem in kind of the narration of what's going on there. He jumps to a random road with a couple of travelers headed home after Passover. This is how he documents it. "Now that same day," meaning the same day that Mary went to the tomb, that Peter went to the tomb, that the disciples were gathered, they weren't sure what happened. That same day, Easter Sunday, the two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were returning home from Passover, most likely. They had probably been there for about a week. They would have gotten there on Sunday or Monday the week before and celebrated Passover throughout that week. And then if you remember, Sabbath began Friday night, so there'd be no more travel. They would have stayed in Jerusalem throughout Saturday, and then the moment the sun came up on Sunday, they'd be able to begin their journey home. And they would have had hours together on this road. 7 miles would have been a pretty long journey in the first century. And there was a lot on their mind. Luke says they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. It had been an eventful few days in Jerusalem. If you rewind to the beginning of the week, Jesus on Palm Sunday, the reason why we call it Palm Sunday, he comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and people were laying palm fronds in front of him and singing and celebrating the people who were following him, the people who thought he was the coming king. They were celebrating him. But all were not fans of Jesus in Jerusalem that week. There were the teachers of the law and the chief priests who were very upset at what Jesus had been doing the previous several years. And so these two groups begin to clash during the week of Passover. Jesus has this moment where he walks into the temple and he turns over the tables of the money changers, saying, "You're turning my father's house into a den of robbers." There were several other scenes that were just filled with intensity throughout the week. Maybe they were talking about some of those things as they walked. Certainly they talked about Jesus's death and what took place on Friday, when he suffered Roman crucifixion. Maybe they talked about his interactions with Pontius Pilate or Pontius Pilate's interactions with the crowd. Maybe he talked about that last supper that Jesus had with his disciples and the things he had shared with them. There was so much that had happened that week. And they were discussing all these things as they walked. Luke continues and says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. This is such an amazing moment. The person at the center of all the drama they are discussing just strolls up next to him on a random road, a random path outside of Jerusalem as they're heading home. And they were kept from recognizing him. We don't know exactly why this is. Maybe it was a dusty day on the dirt road and Jesus had his face covered. Maybe he did some sort of trick that kept them from recognizing him, or it's possible that You know, it's the first century. There's no photographs. There's no social media. There's no newspapers. It's possible that they could have followed Jesus for some time and never really gotten close and known exactly what he looks like up close and personal. But for whatever reason, they can't see that it's Jesus, and he just strolls up behind them and next to them on this road. And instead of like coming in and just saying, hey, let me explain all these things to you, Jesus begins a conversation with them. He asks, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And for us, this we see this as kind of tongue-in-cheek. It's kind of ironic that Jesus strolls up and asks them this question. Of course he knew what they were discussing. So this is kind of tongue-in-cheek. This is so loaded. And I love Jesus's humanness. Again, he strolls up and he starts a conversation with them and an interaction with them. For us, it's kind of humorous knowing how the story ends. But for them, for these two travelers on the road to Emmaus, it stopped them in their tracks. Luke says they stood still, their faces downcast. So they're moving along, they're trying to get home, and this traveler comes up next to them and asks them this question, and they just stop, and their faces sink. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? There were so many people visiting the city that week. Passover, they estimate between 100,000 and 200,000 people would descend on Jerusalem for that celebration. So many people there. And Cleopas is saying everyone knew. Everyone was affected. Everyone at least caught wind of what was happening with Jesus, the Nazarene, during the week of Passover. How is it that you don't know? And in this moment, Jesus could have jumped in and said, hey, I actually do know a little bit about what happened over the last few days. But he doesn't. He asks another question. Again, his humanity, his relatability. Jesus says, what things? Huh. Again, this is hilarious. He's baiting them in, and they're taking the bait hook, line, and sinker. They continue, they say, well, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet. He was powerful in word and deed before God and all the people, at which point I could see Jesus going, oh, tell me more about that. Yeah, go on. They say the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped. But now that hope was gone because they saw Jesus die and they expected Jesus to do what dead people do, stay dead. Yet in this moment, Easter was right in front of them. The hope that had died in their hearts was actually very much alive walking alongside them. They continue to question though. They continue in their confusion. They say, and what is more, it's the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said, he was alive. And then some of our other companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, which this is one of the early ancient examples that women are always right. They're typically the first ones to be right, okay? If you haven't learned that already as a husband or you're planning to be a husband one day, take note right here, they were right. They found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And still, Cleopas, as he's sharing all this, he's not coming to the conclusion Jesus has risen from the dead. They're still wondering. They're still confused. So many people in the story, they didn't see it. Yet it was right in front of them. He was right in front of them. Resurrection walked with these two men on the road to Emmaus. And they didn't know it. Now, I want to pause the story there for just a second. Because we can do the same thing, can't we? We can do the same thing. Resurrected life is with us. As we go along through life, we can forget or lose sight of the fact that Jesus is with us. When we face adversity or suffering, or the plans that we had hoped for and looked forward to somehow now don't look possible, we can forget the fact that the God of the universe is with us, that Jesus is with us, that resurrected life walks alongside us. We can act just like the travelers on the road to Emmaus. Now back to the account. Jesus, at this point, he seems to have hit his limit. He's had enough of the doubt and the questioning and the confusion, enough of the downcast and the discouragement, and Jesus finally jumps in. And he says this, he said, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken," to which these two travelers on the road would have said, "Wait a second, no, we've believed the prophets our entire life. We've studied them, we have them memorized. We believe them." But Jesus continues, he said, "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And don't miss this, Jesus knew the answer to this question because Jesus had just lived the answer to this question. He lived through the answer to this question. He experienced the answer to this question. And then beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, Jesus begins to explain to these two travelers what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself. Imagine this for just a second. Jesus, who was with the Father creating the world at the very beginning, who was there in all of these Old Testament accounts that these two travelers would have grown up reading and listening to. In these moments, Jesus begins to unpack each of them, example by example, and how all of them were pointing towards the Messiah, Jesus, who would show up on earth and suffer and die, but ultimately be raised back to life. They had heard these stories many times before. But this was different. As Jesus talked about Moses and the parting of the Red Sea and the deliverance of the Israelites out of the captivity in Egypt. In the Passover celebration, the one that Jesus rewrote that night of the Last Supper, the day before he went to the cross. "Hey, you're now going to celebrate this in remembrance of me." The law, the tablets of stone that Moses came down from the mountain holding, the Ten Commandments, very Charlton Heston-like, you know? Moses comes down off the mountain and Jesus is telling that story and he's going, "Hey, the Messiah actually came to fulfill that law for all of the people." Jesus starts talking about David, the poet and the shepherd who ends up fighting Goliath and who would later become the king of Israel and whose lineage would bring about the Messiah. David was actually Jesus's great, 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 great times 28 grandfather. Jesus shared all of the accounts, all of the stories. Maybe he went back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to the very beginning. He tells the story they had heard their entire life, the story they had memorized their entire life, but Jesus tells it differently. He tells the story like someone who had lived it. He seemed to know it like no one else ever had. And he did know the story. He knew the story because he was in the story from the very beginning. And he knew the story because he was the story. Everything pointed to him. And so he explains this to these travelers as they walk along the road to Emmaus. And I don't know how long the conversation went on, but my guess is it was a couple hours. And as they approached the village, Emmaus, to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. Jesus was like, "Peace, see y'all, I'm gonna keep going." But they urged him. They urged him strongly. They said, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened. And they recognized him. They couldn't see it. All along, they couldn't see it, even though it was right in front of them the whole time. And then in an instant, when Jesus broke the bread and he shared it with them, their eyes were open and they recognized who it was that was in their midst. They couldn't see it. And then all of a sudden, it was all they could see. Imagine what went through their minds and hearts in this moment right here. The God who had been faithful to them for generations now sat at the table with them. The God who they had grown up following and worshiping, whose lives, their family had just shaped their lives around this God, and now this God sat at the table and dined with them. They didn't see it. But once they saw it, they couldn't see anything else. Their eyes were open and they recognized him. And then Jesus disappeared from their sight. Which again is kind of another humorous part of this account. Jesus is like, okay, I'm out, see ya. I think my job is done here. He disappears, and then immediately these two travelers, they look at each other and they asked each other. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures? They're looking at each other and going, they're just asking like, hey, did you experience what I experienced as we were walking out there? Like, yeah, I thought so. Like there was something different. We've heard the scriptures our entire lives. We've heard these accounts our entire lives. There was something different about this man. We knew it. And now we know it for sure. Resurrection has happened. Jesus is alive. The King is alive and death is finished forever. This news dawns on them as they sit at the table and they think to themselves, we gotta go back. We gotta go back and tell the others. And so it says that they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, which you gotta keep in mind, this is probably the middle of the night, or at least it's late in the evening and it's dark outside. This 7-mile journey would have been really tough in the daylight. It would be almost impossible at night, but they don't care. They're thinking, hey, this news is too big. It's too important. We've got to go back and find the disciples and the others and encourage them with this. It's all they could see. It's all that they had in their sight. So they take off. Who knows how long and how long it took them to get back to Jerusalem and what they had to face to get back to Jerusalem. But then Luke says this. He says that there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together. They were still kind of in this one house, kind of hiding out, waiting to see what they were gonna do next. And the two travelers to Emmaus, they bust in and they say, it's true. It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. And then the two tell them what happened on the way. They tell him about the conversation on the path and the way he talked about the scriptures. And then they describe the scene at the dinner table, how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. They couldn't see it on the road. They couldn't see it. And in a moment, their eyes were opened and it was all they could see. Such a beautiful picture of Easter. And today, for you and for me, much like the two on the road to Emmaus, we are all on a journey in life. And for some of us, that journey is filled with challenges and trials and suffering and pain right now. For others of us, it's pleasant. The road is filled with good things right now. For most of us in the room, I would guess it's some combination of both. But the message of Easter, the message of Easter is that we are not alone on that road. Whether we see it or not, whether we're aware of it or not, God goes with us. The death and resurrection of Jesus declared once and for all that we are his children and nothing can separate us from his love. Easter says that the same God that was with Moses when he parted the Red Sea is with us, whether we see it or not. The same God that was with David when he fought Goliath is with us, whether we see it or not. And the same God that walked alongside two discouraged travelers on the road to Emmaus is with us today, whether we see it or not. Today, Easter is right in front of you. Easter is right in front of you. So don't miss it. Don't miss it today. If you're a lifelong follower of Jesus, maybe you've been following Jesus for years, let today be a refreshment to your relationship with the God of the universe. Let it re-energize you in your faith journey and open up your mind and heart to what God wants to do in your life next. If you've drifted away from faith, maybe if you were honest with me today, you'd say, Adam, I had a season where I believed and a season where I really followed. And I've just kind of disengaged. Life got in the way or something happened. I just drifted away. I don't attend church much anymore. I'm not engaged anymore. Easter's right in front of you today. Don't miss it. Use today, leverage today as a way to re-engage with your heavenly Father and your faith journey. Maybe for you today, the way you can not miss the Easter that is right in front of you is you can put your faith in Jesus for the very first time. You've never trusted him with your life. You've never gotten to that place in your life where you go, God, I surrender to you. I'm a sinner. Jesus, I receive your death and resurrection as payment for my sins. I trust you with my life and I follow you. Easter's right in front of you. Don't miss it if you need to take that step today. Or maybe you're at a place where like, hey, I've got way more questions than answers. I don't know if I can buy into all of this. Maybe for you today, it's an opportunity just to take a step to explore more what it would look like to follow Jesus in your life. Whatever it is, let this Easter move you to follow whatever God is leading you to do in your life. Easter's right in front of you. Don't miss it. Take a step in his direction. And when we do, we experience his faithfulness in the eternal life that only Jesus brings. The same God who was with Moses, the same God who was with David, the same God who was with two travelers on the road to Emmaus is with you today. So don't miss it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of your son, Jesus. Thank you for his ministry, the words that he shared, these words that are just gold to our lives today as we seek to follow you. Thank you for what he suffered on Good Friday and that his death was payment for the sins of the entire world, past, present, and future. And thank you, God, that death did not have the final say. That Sunday showed up, Easter showed up, and he was resurrected from the grave to offer all of us new life, regardless of our past, regardless of our experience in life. We're all invited to experience your eternal life. You offer it to us freely. Would you help each of us in here not miss the Easter that is right in front of us? We need you, God. We need you. And we praise you that you're with us. In Jesus' name, amen.